brothers and sisters, I am extremely happy to be here with you among as a student, who have long, bright future. And also, you see, the time always moving forward, never is a return. So naturally, the coming generation or the younger generation, you will be the prime mover of future. So a person who always look future and the happy world, or at least more harmonious, more friendly, more peaceful world. Certainly, you see, you have, I think, important role in that direction. So because of these reasons, I am extremely happy with you to spend a few moments and exchange some thought. Now, whether you see that long future, whether utilize constructive way or destructive way, is actually depend on individual. So here, I always consider human determination, self-confidence, plus human wisdom or human intelligence which based on thorough knowledge about the reality. I think that is the main force to go forward in a more positive way. So here, such is the famous institution here. There's no doubt you have, I think, every minute you gain more knowledge, more knowledge or more wisdom. Perhaps wisdom, although I do not know the exact meaning, firstly, my English vocabulary is very limited, and also the exact meaning. Sometimes I think I may use wrong way. So in any way, I think the wisdom, perhaps not only knowledge, not only based on knowledge, but also based on experience. The deeper realization or understanding certain thing, which based on combination, knowledge and experience, that may be more wisdom, I think more nearer wisdom. So in any way, in such as the institution, such place, you require, knowledge and awareness. But then extremely important, right from the beginning, to take care about your spiritual value. When I say spiritual, not necessarily religious thing. It can be very possible, without any religion, be a very honest and a very compassionate person. That can be, can develop. So that usually I call the spiritual. There are two levels. One involve religion, religious faith. One without religion, simply, utilize a good quality of human being. After all, to me, religion means simply strengthening about basic human good quality. Nothing else, nothing more. So therefore, the basic human good quality, this I usually call the spiritual value. So I would like to express, to tell you, right from the beginning, while the developing or increasing day by day, or the knowledge side, the wisdom side, the other, the motivation side, equally important, therefore, should make proper shape. So that you not only become a happier human being, or happy human being, but also you can be a very useful, very, helpful member of the human community. Now about my talk, the topic, hopes and vision of future of Tibet. Everybody knows Tibet as the roof of the world. I think because I'm Tibetan, so I love Tibet very much. So perhaps my explanation about Tibet may have some exaggeration. So you see, my explanation, whether true or not, you have to judge. Now Tibet, because of the situation of the country, perhaps I think eventually with Buddhism, Tibet eventually, you see, developed some kind of unique cultural heritage. So that, again, I think due to many factors, usually, you see, Tibetan way of life or Tibetan way of thinking is, I think, more harmonious, you see, the attitude. Peaceful relation with fellow human being, and also, you see, with animals, although Tibetan majority are non-vegetarian. But basically, you see, the Tibetan attitude towards the living being is something, I think, something quite karuna, compassionate, or quite good, quite nice. So, and also, you see, through that way, you see, the harmonious sort of attitude with environment. And then most important thing, I believe, you see, the Tibet, due to our culture, the Tibetan people, when we're facing tragic situation or tragedy, you see, I think very rare among Tibetan who really, you see, they due to, I mean, lost hope and, you see, take one's own life, that kind of thing. I think very rare. And in spite, you see, many difficulties and difficult circumstances, you see, they usually, you see, people live quite happily. And all time, you see, there's some kind of jovial, the attitude always there. So this, I consider very important. After all, everyone want a happy day and a happy life. And after all that, I consider the very purpose of our life is happiness. This I believe. So therefore, you see, that kind of Tibetan culture is something quite useful in our daily life. And also, I think Tibetan culture produce a kind of person or people who, you see, when we really facing the threat, I think the more situation become difficult, I think a Tibetan become more harder. That also, I think, one strength. I think our weakness, it seems to me, when things okay, then I think the Tibetan people become more lazy. This I feel, you see, there's something okay, then we need a lot of push. Otherwise, they do not move. So when things become really serious, without much pushing, you see, they can handle, they can face, you see, that situation. So I think, you see, that is the one, I think, good quality, perhaps. Of course, laziness is bad, but otherwise, you see, the good quality. So that is, I think, I consider is the culture aspect. You see, they produce, I mean, such kind of behavior. Then Tibet, geographically, you see, become important or something, yes, something important, because, you see, our southern neighbor, India, not only ancient nation, but very great populated nation. Then, of course, is China, our eastern neighbor. Now today, you see, 1.2 billion of human beings. India is about 900, between 800 to 900 millions of population. So between these, the great populated, you see, two nations, the Tibet, in the past, you see, Tibet acted as a buffer state. So that, I think, creates some positive situation in that area. You know, you see, India and China never have war, never fought, except, you see, 62. So you see, because of Tibet. Now that, I think, about is a past Tibet. In the past, you see, Tibet, you see, acted like that. Then usually when I explain about, you see, when I introduce with Tibet, half joke, I think half is sincere. That is, you see, the Tibetan, I think, through centuries, I think quite clever, it seems. You see, when we look, when we need some, you see, more progress, you see, we look about our neighbor countries. Then to south, we found very rich philosophy, very rich religions. So we adopted religion, philosophy from their country. That is Buddhism. And then we look at our eastern neighbor, oh, very rich about food. So you see, we adopted the Chinese style of food. Even you see, the very name, vegetable, cè, means Chinese word. Still, you see, we use that word, cè, cè. And then our northern neighbor, Mongolia, cold climate, so you see, the very warm cloth. So we found, oh, very good dress, very good warm cloth. So we adopted Mongolian style of cloth. So I think perhaps it is quite amazing, I think, the 8th century, a kind of international seminar on medical, on medicine, you see, took place in Tibet. Participation from India, from Taksik, then we call Taksik the western side, perhaps Afghanistan or Iran, this area. Then local doctors, Tibetan doctors and Chinese doctors. Then also, I think, due to Buddhist influence, again, it's 8th century, the one famous king, you see, he saw, you see, unequal among his subject. So within few years' time, you see, he made 3 times equal in economy field. Certainly not due to Marxist ideology, but because of Buddhist ideology, I think. So you see, that's about Tibet. Now, in future, you see, firstly, I think many of you see, already know one of my proposal, in order to make dialogue with Chinese government, you see, I made 2 proposal. There's one proposal which I made public in 1987. Now there I mentioned it's a 5-point peace plan. One point I mentioned, the Tibet, no matter what political status, eventually should be zone of peace, demilitarized the one. So that, again, Tibet can act as a buffer state. And also with Tibetan culture, Tibetan environment, the demilitarization is very, very suitable. Then the country, although, you see, not as bad as the Chinese explain, the dark, very cruel or very backward, not as bad as you see that presentation, but you see, of course, you see, backward, materially backward, and the system also, you see, backward. So no Tibetan, you see, thinking or hoping restoration about the old system. That's clear. Now, for example, as early as 1962, as soon as we came to India, we at once start the work of democracy, democratization. We started. In 1963, we adopted one draft constitution for future Tibet, the based on democratic principle. Then 1969, one official statement, I stated that the Dalai Lama institution, whether should remain, should continue or not, entirely depend on wishes of Tibetan people. So I stated. Then, last few years, I intensified the democratization, work of democratization. Then, last year, we adopted one, this is charter, while we remain as a refugee, you see, the work of democratization, you see, should be more thorough. So you see, we adopt one charter. So the future, the Tibet, we already, you see, make very clear to our own people and world also, you see, the future Tibet will be a democratic self-rule. That is our basic sort of aspiration. And accordingly, we Tibetan refugee already, you see, doing the every sort of preparation, you see, for that goal. And then Tibet also have a lot of minerals. Some are quite important minerals. So these minerals, the sum You see, according, you see, some Chinese information, they seems, you see, they something certain, you see, minerals quite important for military purpose. It is quite sad. So while we really, you see, thinking that Tibet should be a demilitarized one, then you see certain mines from Tibet already using some, you see, the military purpose. So in future, you see, thing which come from Tibet should not be any use for military purpose. This is our, how say, the one hour, how say, the. And then another thing, Tibet, of course we need more material development and more factories. At the same time, and we must utilize the water resources, the plenty of water resources. You see, we must, you see, visualize these, utilize it properly. But at the same time, keep in our mind the more, how say, the preservation of environment. The one, you see, problem, according to some Indian scientist, some is my friend, you see, they told me the Tibet, the high altitude and the dry climate, so if something damage the ecology field, then it need more time to recover. So it is, you see, need, you see, more care. And also is the major river which, you see, go through India, Bangladesh, and Pakistan, and also China and Vietnam. You see, originally come from Tibet, many major river. So the Tibet keep pure, no pollution, no contamination. The other neighbors also, you see, they benefit. If something wrong there, then not only 6 million people suffer, but also the larger people on that region, they will suffer. So the environment question is very, very important. So therefore, when we free, you see, of course we need, you see, more development, but you see, must be very careful about the ecology problem. This is our dream. Now, before these dreams, you see, become reality. Now, at present, we actually, you see, facing a real threat that Tibetan nation with unique culture now really, you see, facing extinction. Now, this is the problem now. So sometimes I feel, you see, our political status, these comparatively to me at the moment, you see, these are luxury item. Now at the moment, we must make every effort to save this nation, and it is unique. Now really, you see, now the situation is threatening, but very serious, very, very critical. Now mainly, you see, due to a large number of Chinese population transfer. You see, this, firstly, you see, because of this large number of Chinese population transfer, of course, the certain area, which, you see, they not suitable, not comfortable for Chinese who come from, you see, lowland, you see, certain area, still, you see, no Chinese, or even, you see, there are very few, the majority are Tibetan. But those lowland, something, you see, they're more suitable for Chinese. And also, you see, like Lhasa, or those bigger town, the major population are Chinese. Now, for example, Lhasa, our capital, the Chinese population around 100,000, Tibetan population about 40 to 50,000. So 2/3 of the population are Chinese. Now, according to some information, you see, now, for example, in Lhasa Valley, the restaurant and shops, you see, including some very, very small, you see, shops, which owned by Chinese, 12,527. Whereas, similar, you see, shops and, you see, the restaurant which, or tea shops, which, you see, owned by Tibetan, about 300. So that is, you see, the situation. So because of, you see, that, the naturally, you see, much more tension, you see, between Tibet and the Chinese. So the resentment, you see, always happen, when, you see, the slightest resentment happened, then usually, you see, the arrest or torture, things like that. So the immeasurable human rights violation is taking place. Then also due to population transfer, the great damage, environment, also is happening. Now, for example, you see one, the hydroelectric project, which you see using, which is supposed to use the water from certain, as in the lake, we call Yamdokso, in central Tibet. So you see that project, late Panchen Lama, you see, so long alive, he opposed, you see, that project because of the environment, you see, implication. But as soon as he passed away, now that project just, you see,
going ahead.
Yes, going ahead. So, like that, you see, some other area, you see, the similar, you see, the huge, you see, project, which could be negative consequences about environment. So this is one problem. Then another thing, again, you see, because of the population transfer, then whether intentionally or unintentionally, the culture genocide is really taking place. Now, where you see those areas, where you see more Chinese, Tibetan already become minority. In this area, you see, Tibetan compelled to speak Chinese. And besides, you see, they deal with official. That's always use the first language, Chinese. Even you see the short reports. You need Chinese. But beside that, you see, among themselves also, you see, because of the situation, you see, compelled to speak Chinese. Now, one example, you see, last year, one Tibetan who visited, you see, Lhasa, when he returned, he told me, he surprised, one occasion, he very much, you see, shocked. That is, while he visited the central cathedral, where, you see, usually it's a Tibetan population, concentrate that area. So one day, you see, he visited that area, and some, you see, boys and girls, you see, like dressed like Chinese and speak Chinese. Then he wonder whether, you see, among these people, whether they're Tibetan or not, whether they are Tibetan or not. Then he shout in Tibetan. Then some, you see, response. Then he asked, why? Why you are speak among yours, even among yourselves, which is Chinese? Then the reply was, if we speak Tibetan, they're Chinese, look down. So if we speak Chinese, then we got more sort of equal. So these are the circumstances which compel, this kind of situation. So therefore, the underneath some kind of holiday. The culture genocide is really, you see, going on. And then, our last 14 years, since we have a direct contact with the Chinese government, in early 80s, I sent 4 delegations as a fact-finding mission to Tibet through China. And then 2 exploratory. So in any way, that nature, you see, delegation visited Beijing twice. Then my, you see, personal emissary, you see, till last year, is 10 times visited. And from our side, we made every effort to find some meaningful dialogue with Chinese government on the basis of the Deng Xiaoping's statement, which he made, when my emissary had meeting with him, beginning of 1979 or late 78, he said, you see, beside the question of complete independence, anything can be discussed, he stated. So the whole my approach is actually based on that statement. With this spirit, you know, this is my 5-point peace plan proposal, and also the another proposal which I made in Strasbourg. You see, although I used the particular term in association with PRC, but in other hand, you see that in spirit of what say the some kind of the spirit of reconciliation, and with that, you see, I made this proposal. That proposal, you see, because I made the maximum concession, so some Tibetan actually openly criticize, you see, about that, you see, proposal. Some even stated, you, Dalai Lama, 14th Dalai Lama, you sold out Tibetan legitimate right. But you see, because my anxiety is, you see, because now Tibetan nation, actually, you see, dying. So we must save this, you see, from this situation. Now, this is our urgent task. So the future arrangement about, you see, our political status, let Tibetan people themselves, you see, decide. So I consider my urgent task is they must, you see, save, this, protect, you see, this nation, this unique, this ancient nation with unique culture. So then, you see, my last attempt last year, again, you see, failed. Still, you see, my part, I'm ready to discuss with the Chinese government without precondition, anytime, anywhere. That is still, you see, my position. That's my position. Meantime, due to our past 14 years experience, unless you see some backing, you see, our proposal, our own effort now most probably will not produce satisfactory result. So therefore, when you see my last visit in Washington, already you see some of our supporter, which is suggested, the Chinese or the status of most favored nation, that should be conditioned, and I should speak out about that. I felt this hesitation. Now, first of all, you see, China must be China, the most populated nation. So very important. So therefore, China must bring into the mainstream of world community. So therefore, you see, at that moment, and still I felt, you see, there still maybe some possibility, you see, through persuasion. Now, since then, as I mentioned earlier, you see, no effect our persuasion. So therefore, now this time, when I was in Washington, the last week, you see, two bills introduced by, you see, both houses, you see, introduced one bill, that, you see, about it, especially the status, most favored nation's status with conditional one. In the condition, you see, they mentioned about the human rights issue in China proper, as well as in Tibet, and specifically they mentioned about the population transfer into Tibet. So then I thought, now, you see, that is the only way, you see, to have the meaningful dialogue with China. So I expressed, you see, my full support, deep appreciation, and accordingly I told the President and Vice President of the United States, and also our, you see, old and new, you see, supporters among senators as well as the congressmen. So that is the so far what I have done in order to find some meaningful dialogue with Chinese government. Now here in this country, Britain. You know, my previous visit, Another is previous visit when I was in Scotland area. Then from my mouth it slipped the word is England. Oh, then one Scottish is there. Oh, this is not England. Half joke, half very serious. So you see here, oh, Britain, where? Britain. I myself make sure, where? Sure. Britain. So you see here, you see, this country, the among the Western nation, the only nation, you see, who actually witnessed before Chinese invasion what sort of Tibet, you see, the situation, what kind of, you see, the political status. The, according, you see, the International Lawyers was a conference, you see, they made clear that Tibet, you see, the free nation, and Tibet have, you see, the every right for right of self-determination and independence. So in any way, you see, this country not only witness but also, you see, have the, you see, treaty signed, you see, treaties with Tibetan. So some kind of moral obligation, moral obligations. And also, I think, you see, because of you have the deeper knowledge, so I think you can place special role. So here, as a young student, I would like to appeal to you, whenever you find some appropriate way, you see, to support Tibet, to help Tibet, please keep in your mind. I earnestly say, appealing international community, I do, and particularly here, this occasion, I would like to express my deep sort of kasada.
Appeal,
yes. Then here, perhaps I think, you know, this time in Washington, and also here, you see, through conversation, you see, I noticed there are, you see, the two regarding, you see, the China. You see, there are two school of thought, I found, you see, two opinion. One opinion, I think the governor of Hong Kong, you see, belong this opinion. That, you see, the China should give every facility for economic development. And so that more economic development, you see, take place, automatically it help, you see, to liberalization in political field, political liberalization. This is one opinion. The another opinion, because of, you see, past experience, now time has come, you see, to deal with China a little bit, you see, pressure in the economy field. Now, I belong this this view. You know, after Tiananmen massacre happened, then eventually the Soviet, you see, communist totalitarian system collapsed. At that time, I really, you see, they expected. Now Chinese leaders, they already, you see, they faced, you see, their own people's, you see, sort of opposition. And then the biggest totalitarian system, as the country, collapsed. So they may adopt, you see, more open in the political field. But then, you see, it didn't, you see, take place. Instead, because of fear, they intensified the rigidity. So therefore, now these both system, I mean, so, no, not system, both opinion, the same goal, I believe, same goal that China must bring into the mainstream of the world community, the same goal, and must bring into democracy, the same goal, but different method. So I believe now, you see, because of these experiences, if you give more help economically, then
the Chinese leadership, of course the present leadership, after it's a party meeting, although it's a mixture, they are moderate and hardliner, but still the hardliners, you see, the influence very much there, very much alive. So these people, I suppose, they look at Soviet Union, former Soviet Union, without central authority. Too much is chaotic there. So it needs central authority, central has a dictatorship. You see, they have very good reason. Then look at Western nation. Just after Tiananmen event, some criticism. But now, you see, that criticism faded. So Western nation, you see, this gives some kind of forgiveness. So you see, they get more confidence, naturally. And of course, you see, they carry continuously the repressive, you see, measure. Then the masses, farmers, and the workers, their main concern is their daily living standard, economy prosperity. They may satisfy their daily life, food, shelter, this is okay. Then democracy, freedom in their daily life, not much relevant. So they may stand indifferent about the democracy and the freedom. So as a result, then you see this group, intellectuals, as well as students, who really, you see, fighting for democracy and freedom as a life and death struggle. Now this eventually become isolated. So I feel, you see, the world community, I think, must realize the responsibility to give, to, how say, to act the, say, to act or to give every encouragement to these people, and should not give sort of encouragement or more confidence in the hardliner, right? To the hardliners. So after all, this is China, the most important nation because of the population and also the economy. You see, recent, you see, development, according to recent, how say, the reports, you know, the rapidly the economy development, you see, taking place. So the without changing authoritarian system, the economy development means military power will increase. Now, according to some information, now, you see, some Japanese start, you see, express their anxiety, their big neighbor. Now they spend, how say they, I mean, increasing the expenditure for military forces. So therefore, the Time magazine, you see, the latest Time magazine, you see, the title, the next superpower. So it is, I think, you see.
So there are every indication that what the Time magazine is predicting, China as being the next superpower, is quite true.
So it's a superpower. Of course, economy and with democracy, superpower is very good. But superpower without democracy, totalitarian system, it is dangerous. So that is the current situation. So I just, you see, mentioned about our past situation, then about our vision, future. Then before materialize this vision, at this moment, we need some urgent sort of measures or action to save this nation. They mainly, specifically, through every way to stop, not only is to stop human rights violation, but the main thing is to stop the demographic aggression. Now, this is most important. So, thank you. Thank you very much. That's all.
Yes. Well, I thought it was terrific, I must say. And I was particularly interested in the ecological aspect, because there's no doubt that the Chinese are completely ruining a lot of the countryside and causing a lot of the floods in those huge rivers that feed Southeast Asia.
I think it was very well directed at this public. I think he talked to them in intelligent fashion, and he really told them that in their hands lay the future, and he wanted them to help as much as possible.
It fulfilled everything I expected.
You seem to have a very good attitude towards this audience. You seem very relaxed about it. I don't know if he said a huge amount, but he seemed, well, he had the right attitude towards Tibet as well, to what the people should do.
Did you think it was very emotive?
I thought that as a person he was very interesting. He's a very personable person. I thought his speech was very interesting. It didn't dwell on the troubles that Tibet has had, the grisly past it's had. It was positive, but it was an appeal for action and support.
Very good.
Do you think it was an emotive speech?
I have heard him speak on a number of occasions. I felt that there was much more urgency in his appeal for people to do something to stop the numbers of Chinese people occupying Tibet.
I think it would be what I would expect from a political leader, another from a spiritual leader.
He's expressed himself very well, I thought, especially considering his problems with English. And he's obviously very practiced at dealing with international relations and that sort of thing, and presenting the case of his country.
It doesn't seem too professional, does he? Which is quite refreshing.
I know, he seems to have a good sense of humour, and he's good at interacting with people. And so I think he made a favourable impression on everybody here and encouraged them to do something about it.
Thanks.
He's a tremendously nice person, apparently. And he seems to really have a message. He seems to win people, and this seems to be the important point for his attempt to secure Tibet.
The thing I was most impressed by was his humbleness and his... I mean, he's a very, very nice person. I mean, obviously, he had a good message, and I found him very interesting to listen to. But I met him, and I got a photograph taken with him, and he's a very, very nice and humble person. And he's the kind of person you meet once, and you just like to remember him for the rest of your life.
Very human and normal, and good sense of humour. And obviously not, hadn't given up hope about what's happened, even though it's been 20, 25 years since the horrific things have occurred.
How about you?
Yeah, I agree with the sense of humour. That was fairly evident. Quite moving.